Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Thank you. Just thank you for life. Thank you for grace. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. It is of the Lord's mercy that we have the eyes to see the things that He has shown us by grace. Thank you. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for healings. Thank you for safety. Thank you for protection. Thank you for preservation. Don't be tired. Let the list go on and on. I'm telling thank you. Lord, that I am here in the midst of your people ready to receive, I say thank you. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for the influence that he has granted you. Thank you for giving you his voice, his spirit, his wisdom, his anointing. Lord, I'm not here to complain about my many struggles, but by your spirit and your grace, I'm confident you solve them. But I'm here to say I love you. I'm here to say I adore you. I'm here to say
that we love you.
I love you. I
Father, we declare that without your presence, without your word, without your spirit, nothing can be made out of our lives. We stand before your people, connecting with all who are part of this family around the world. We declare that you alone are faithful, you alone are God. No man can do these things except God be with him. And Lord, we just want to take the time to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A thousand tongues will not be enough to say thank you. We're not in ministry if lives are not being changed. We're not in ministry if your power is hindered through our lives and from our lives. We're not in ministry if your word is not coming in season. We're not in ministry if your voice is not heard in the midst of us. But Lord, we thank you. We're not in ministry if no one is around to hear what you are declaring to us. You have exalted us. You have honored us. You have blessed us. And we thank you. We thank you. Tonight, I ask that you bless us, challenge us again. We have come to Bethel, the place of bread. We have come to the threshing floor. We have come to the place of purification. We have come to the place of impartation. We have come to the place of hope. We have come to the place of transformation. We have come to the place of the oil and the wine. We have come to the place where you can open our eyes and wash it with eye salve that we may see. We have come to the place where the voice of the Lord is not scarce. Tonight, O God, we cry that in a new way you speak to us, you challenge us, set us on fire once again. And O God, beyond the speakings of a man, we pray that your voice will echo from the throne and cause us to hear. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. We will trust. Let the weak say,
we're going to sing just one more song.
Amen, amen, amen.
Sing it as a prophecy over your life. Let it be so.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
To your will, to your word, to your power.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Taking you, and no power in hell will stop it. I want you to believe what I'm saying. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet. Take your eyes away from the temporary setbacks. No money, no ministry, no influence, all that is rubbish. The Bible says they looked unto him. That's the key. He lifted the brazen serpent and he says to look. Take away your eyes, for all those who looked at the serpent, the one on the ground, could not have an effect on them. He said, if it be thou, bid me come. And Peter set his gaze, but the winds were still boisterous, and he turned his eyes.
You know that song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Who knows that song?
His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I'd like you to prophesy to yourself in 1 minute. No force is capable of hindering the purposes of God over my life. Shake away unbelief. Shake away limitations. I may not look like it, but the Spirit of God is doing something.
You may not feel like a man of God, but the anointing is within your horizon. There's no plan of darkness that is able to thwart the purposes of God over your life. Can you prophesy to yourself? Go into the place of destiny by the anointing, by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is no power, no force. The gates of hell does not sustain the ability to stop me. I decree and declare that I am rising by the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is already a message to someone. Because you see, brothers and sisters, this life has a way of taking away your gaze from Jesus. Some of you had to trek to come here. And while you were trekking, the devil told you, where is the grace you claim you have for prosperity? Some of you had to fight all kinds of battles to be here. But let me tell you, if your life were ordinary, the devil will not waste his time around you. There was something the spirit of the Antichrist saw with the star and began to manipulate Herod to look for where Jesus is. Satan has refused to let you go because there is something in your life and around your destiny that makes him uneasy. And in the name of Jesus, I declare to you again that no power, it's already too late, no power of hell will stop you. You see, for as long as it is night, you will continue to weep. But when light comes, this light we are talking about, the Bible says there were many lights. Buddhism has some light. Occultism has some light. They manipulate things. But the Bible says he made two great lights. Great lights. The lights that rule in the day and the lights that rule in the night. When the sun shines, you wonder if there are stars again. All of a sudden, the brilliance. That is the same way God does not bless you by just prophesying to you alone. He blesses you by getting you filled with his light. You become so full, you turn back and can't find darkness again. The Bible says in John chapter 1, listen carefully in verse 5. It says, the light shineth in darkness. The light, the word that you have, that has been brought to you by the Spirit, is capable of dispelling any darkness. So brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. You may look around your life and not find any traceable evidence that rewards your hunger and your passion for God. And the devil will want to lie to you to say, for how long will you continue seeking him without a sign? Let me tell you this. Do you know in the spirit, 5 minutes to your breakthrough, it will still not be like it. But all of a sudden, he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, your life will just shift and change in a way that will bless you. That's how God lifts people. Please, I want you to be very intentional about your expectation. God is not a fool. He doesn't call the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain. Creator of the universe, what can you do? What can you do?
speak over your life before you sit down. Psalm 45. Shabrando Zikatulia Hasarabalele.
Psalm 45. The Lord just put it in my spirit to prophesy over your life. Words are powerful. Realities are created through words. 45 verse 12. It says, and the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. It says, even the rich among the people shall entreat your favor. There is... Listen, I taught you something. We're going to teach on something, but it's just a grace that came on me now. Listen to me. Listen. You see, brothers and sisters, everything in life that we know is bought with money. Is that true? Do you agree with me? But do you know that money itself is a product that is bought with something? Come, promise. Promise wants a phone. Listen carefully. And then I give him money. This money can buy a phone. Do you agree? What if it is money he wants? What can I give him to buy money? The name of what you give that buys money is what the Bible calls true riches. True riches. It is true riches that can purchase unfaithful mammon, and alongside with it buy every other thing, the peace, the joy, the influence. Are we together? There is something in this kingdom that buys every other thing. On earth, this looks like the highest, most valuable thing. When you possess this, you can make any noise and ramble and talk rubbish. But in the kingdom, there are realities that we possess. Listen carefully. And the Bible says, with it, anything, whether this, whatever it is, you can possess it, is called the true riches. There are seven of this spiritual capital. One of them is called light. We buy things with light. The power of light is capital in the spirit. The anointing is capital in the spirit. Words are capital in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands and I speak over you that in this season, I program a climate of spiritual reality above you, and I declare, may it begin to call strange levels of lifting in your life. May it begin to call strange levels of honor to your life. May it begin to call strange levels of speed in your life. We're going to sit down shortly. Let me pray for the grace for speed. Now listen, be sensitive. Because the people the anointing will come on, sometimes they can attempt to run physically. So you hold them so they don't scatter everywhere. Right now I stretch my hands. The grace that came upon Elijah that caused him to overtake the chariot of Ahaz. By this apostolic and prophetic grace, I stand in the office of my call. I shift you by speed. Enter a new dimension. In the name of Jesus, speed! Speed, speed, I prophesy it. In one day, let Zion be born. I command speed, speed in your finances, speed in your spiritual life, speed in every area of your life. Whatever level you have been in spiritually and you have refused to shift, I stand by prophecy and I shift you to a new dimension. New level of prophecy, new level of revelation, new level of encounters, new levels of signs and wonders. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
We see your glory.
You know that song?
In this kingdom, it is what is on you that controls what is around you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In this kingdom, it is the spiritual climate above you. I'm speaking by the Spirit. It is the spiritual climate above you that controls the realities that are captured in your life. It takes more than desire. It takes more than zeal. Again, I'm speaking to you. Any climate over you that is drawing things in your life that are putting you in trouble, any climate that is refusing you from rising, you are a man of God with an anointing, yet doors are not opening because there is a climate. In the name of Jesus, I command that climate to leave your life now.
Down shortly, lift your hands. I want to pray on your hands, not you, just your hands. It was with the hand Moses held the rod. He says, and with these hands you will do signs and wonders. I stretch my hands to your hands, and by the Spirit I make contact with your hands. May these hands carry strange fire, fire for signs, fire for wonders. You lay these hands and change the destinies of men. You lay these hands and speak the purposes of the kingdom. Everything these hands come upon, I declare that it is anointed. It will be an instrument of signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please sit down if you can. Just leave those under the anointing. Please sit down. Habalato selikatoria. Sheke pasabarusia hasana balanaba. Elabarato selekatia. Talabarato. Legete koratusia. Shalabarota sodo balanaba. Hallelujah. You see, if the power of God cannot come and change you, then you are wasting your time. Brothers and sisters, I am ministering to you what the Bible calls true riches. This is God's justice system. I was not so educated. Oh, I was not this. I didn't have wealthy parents. But there is something that can come upon men and help them. You are receiving the help of God. God doesn't just help people by wishing. He puts something upon your life. I've taught you this. What is on you is what controls what is around you. Not what you want. Not what men say. They can talk nonsense from morning till night. If you ever turn and see strange results in your life, whether you know it or not, there is something controlling it. If a man ever looks at you and says, I want to bless you, nobody has the heart to do it on his own. No, sir. If as a man of God, you ever call for a solemn assembly and people come, there is something on you. It's not about stories and nonsense. What is upon you is what controls what is around you. I repeat, what is upon you. If you desire something around you and it's not there, don't look for it. Look for what must come upon you to bring that thing you desire.
Always like you, Lord, in all the earth. Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the comfort that will run dry. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. Sing my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrong. You're the holder of my future days to come. And all my days on earth I will away. The moment that I see you face to face. For nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Jesus, yes, you are the cup that won't run dry.
Other things can run dry,
but Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're gathered here and we will always allow you to build, to change, to lift. That is not of the Christ. I stand here right now. If there be any force, any yoke, any agreement upon anyone's life, I speak right now. Be set free. Be released now. Every other influence on your life that is not of the Christ, bringing you oppression, programming failure to your life, I stretch my hands and I command liberty right now in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. God bless you. This is Koinonia. The anointing that comes upon you when you come here is the Holy Spirit doing something within you. Because the words that you are hearing are not just carnal words. It's not just a lecture. The words you are hearing is spirit and life. So while the word is coming, something, an anointing, one of the true riches of the kingdom comes with the word too. If you believe what I'm teaching you, it will so dominate life in a way that will surprise you. When you do not possess the riches of the Spirit, then every other thing becomes Lord over your life. But those who dominate in this kingdom are those who possess the true riches of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Have a new topic tonight, but last week I was to give us 6 points on what the secret place is
I gave us five and we had to stop because of the time. Let me quickly give us the last one. Please, you can, especially if you were here, just go back to your notes and I'll give you the last point very quickly and then we'll go to tonight's discussion. We discussed last week that the secret place is a place of brokenness. We discussed that the secret place is a place where we obtain mercy. That the secret place is a place of revelation, where the mysteries and the strategies of the Spirit are revealed to men, especially the mysteries that's responsible for your destiny. I'm lifting your family, said the Spirit of God. No, this is not for everybody. I'm speaking to someone now. I'm lifting your family. It will be like a dream. It will be like a dream. I'm lifting your family. 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 The Lord is bringing a long period of struggle for a family to end. That's what the Lord is doing. The confusion of many years coming to end within a week. Completely. Within a week. The Lord is speaking to someone here and He's saying, I will visit you again. Of course, everyone can receive, but this is a particular revelation. God is saying, I am coming to you again. The way I came before, I am coming again. I am coming again. It will be in this month of June. He will come to you again with a very strange encounter. And you will receive something from that encounter that will change your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. So we said that number four, that the secret place is a place where we find rest and comfort. Rest and comfort. And then number five, we said the secret place is a place of revival and restoration. Revival. Revival of fire. Revival of love. Revival of passion. Revival of grace. Revival of mantles. Revival of new dimensions in the Spirit. And then I'll give you the last one and then we'll go. This is not the topic for today. I just want to make sure we complete the note. That the secret place is the place of spiritual empowerment. We gain power not by strolling on the seat. It is in the secret place that we find true spiritual power. In a secret place, you get the anointing for your personal life. And in the secret place, you get the anointing to accomplish God's agenda for a season. You can be anointed as a believer, but not anointed to be relevant for a season. Listen very carefully. It is possible that I'm anointed. If you come to me, I can pray for you. But as far as God's agenda within a territory is concerned, it's possible that you are not relevant. There is a special anointing. That one is not the anointing for a believer. That one is not even the anointing for your call and office. It is the anointing that makes a man relevant within a season. That's why you see many anointed people become voiceless after certain seasons. They are still anointed. They still love God. But the anointing to play a key role in God's program is not there. So although they are anointed, you still get blessed. But it's very clear that the lampstand is not on them within that season.
The Lord put a very serious topic in my heart tonight that I want to share. Tonight's topic is going to challenge you, is going to inspire you, and is going to provoke you. Pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. Just be sensitive to the instructions. You're allowing your spirit to contact something while you pray. Don't stop, keep praying. Shabalada balada bakatos.
El Elyon, God Most High, Jesus Christ is the El Elyon of Israel. El Elyon, God Most High, Jesus Christ is the El Elyon of Israel. God Most High, Jesus Christ, Elyon Israel.
Please be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Please sit down, get something to write if you can, and let's understand what the Lord wants to help us. I'm not sure we'll be able to complete it tonight. Contending for Kingdom Relevance, Part 1. Contending for Kingdom Relevance, Part 1. Contending for Kingdom Relevance, Part 1. This is a very powerful teaching that seeks to show you how you can become a voice. You can represent the voice of God to a generation, and you can rise to a position of kingdom influence. Remember, we're still in a season where God has declared that He is lifting men. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. Please give it to us. Salabakoshia takatuskia balaji. No sados kaleshiandas kabaru hasikatia. Shalabarus kelebradikia dabalaba. Shalabaru kia dabalaba. Just sit where you are. Shekete kota salabrati kete keliyadaba. Shereketu kasalabrati kete baladaba. Shelebaratu sere keliyadaba ladaba ladabuch. Shakatus petrati shkalabrati keliyaba. Reketu kasadaba ladaba kote yadaba. Shekete baratu sekete baliyadaba. Something is lifting from your life. Sheka baruta siyada. Lifting from your life. Sheba kotosi. Lifting from your life. I change that situation now by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I change that situation now
by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I change that situation now. For David, please give us amplified. It says, for David, after he had served God's will and purpose and counsel, but he served it in his own generation, he said, fell asleep and was buried. But he said, David served God in his generation. It's not enough to serve God. Is enough to serve God within the context of a generation. Are we together now? There are mandates that are left for generations. Every generation has a spiritual curriculum about God and his purposes that God intends for them to accomplish. And hear me, your relevance within a generation is predicated upon your understanding your generation and knowing the corporate mandate that God has put upon that generation. You can live within a generation and serve God, but serve God in a way and manner that does not influence a generation. It's not enough to serve God. You must serve God in a way and a manner that brings the purposes of God to a generation. And this is what I want to teach you tonight. He said, David served God's will and purpose and counsel in his own generation, not another generation. Everyone that the Bible records that was used by God was used within the context of a generation. Listen very carefully. If you miss relevance within your generation, then you have missed relevance forever. Are we together? I think I was teaching in Lagos during the Young and Gifted program, and I gave them an illustration. No matter how anointed I am, anybody above 55 years is not within the scope of my generation. No matter how I love them, they will be blessed from my life, but they will quickly go to Papa Oyedeko and Papa Adeboye, because those are the voices of that generation. Are you getting what I'm teaching you now? It's not enough to seek relevance. You must seek relevance within the context of a generation. Your voice does not speak to every generation. There is a generation where your relevance is allocated to. God sends men, not just to places, he sends men to a generation. And if you cannot identify your generation of impact and influence, then you will live a very useless life. And David, after he served the will of God, there are some things that are allowed in other generations that are not allowed in others. Are we together? Every time God was about to move within the scope of a generation, he would find a man or he would find men and then begin to introduce them to the dynamics of relevance and greatness, contending for kingdom relevance. There are things that we need to know if we are to rise to a point of kingdom influence and relevance. And I've taught us again and again in this place that kingdom relevance is very important to have kingdom influence, and it is also very important to be able to speak the purposes of God. When you are unable to represent the purposes of God within a generation. Then you may not be able to influence that generation. Judges chapter 6, please. Very quickly, we are going to read from verse 11. Judges chapter 6. This was an encounter that the Lord had with a young man called Gideon. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which is in Ophrah, and pertained to Joash and all of that, and his son Gideon. Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Remember, they were being threatened by the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, "The Lord is with thee, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon answered and said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told of, saying, 'Does the Lord not do this and that and that'?" 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" It didn't look to Gideon like he was sent. But God said, "Have I not sent thee with a message and a mandate to a people?" Next verse 15. And he said unto him, listen, listen carefully. He said, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save" — where? Not the whole world, Israel. "You have sent me with a message, but that message is to a people and a context." He said, "Behold, this is my limitation. My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am, aside from the fact that the family is poor, I am the least in my father's house." Look at the excuse he's giving. God is telling him, "I am lifting you." And then he says, "I cannot do the assignment because of two things. One, poverty." There is a relationship between poverty and lack of influence and lack of relevance. Number two, lack of greatness. I am small. My family is small. And yet, even in that family, I am the least in my father's house. 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and because of my presence with thee, thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Follow me very carefully tonight. Jesus. Psalm 24. And verse 6. He said, "This is the generation." Not "this is the person." Listen carefully. "This is the generation that has a mandate as a generation to seek God, but to seek God in the similitude of Jacob." Listen very carefully. He's saying the word "O Jacob" there is "O God of Jacob." He said there is a generation mandated by God to seek God in the similitude of Jacob. Are we together now? When God tells you to search for him, he looks for human references that are reflections of that expectation. Are we together? When God wants to teach believers to love, he will lift up John and tell them to study his life. When God wants to teach people how to walk in the blessing, he lifts up Abraham and tells them to study his life. In James chapter 5, when God is teaching people how to pray strategic prayer, he lifts up a prophet called Elijah and says, study him. When God wants to teach people on faith, he lifts up Peter. When God wants to teach men on revelation, he lifts up Paul the apostle. Are we together now? So God is very figurative in his expression. For you to understand this scripture, you have to go back to Genesis 28 and Genesis 32 and study how Jacob sought God. Because he said the mandate that was on one man, Jacob, is a mandate that one day will come upon a generation, that a generation will be mandated to seek the face of God in the similitude of Jacob. Are we together? God appears to Jacob in chapter 28. And until that time, listen carefully, there was no God of Jacob. When God revealed himself, he said, I am the God of Abraham. There was a way I taught Abraham to seek me. There were possibilities about me that no one had known. But my encounter with Abraham introduced the world of men to these possibilities. The God of Abraham. Then Isaac the son used the God of Abraham to create the God of Isaac. The God of Abraham was a springboard. The mysteries of God that his father knew. And out of his own dealings with God, God created a name called the God of Isaac. By the time we get to Psalms here, Jacob had done his own too. And God names himself by a man's experience with him. Jacob's encounter is so powerful that God's covenant people were not named after Abraham. They were not named after Isaac. They are not called the Abrahamites. They are not called the Isaacites. They are called the Israelites, not even the Jacobites. So powerful was this encounter that God said, the generation that wants to know me must seek me in the similitude of Jacob. You want to influence a generation? God is lifting her, Dr. Halima. I'm seeing her climb a ladder. The Spirit of God is lifting her to a higher level of influence. That's what I'm seeing in the Spirit. You want to be relevant to a generation. If you love God and you desire that through your life his purposes be established, then you must contend for kingdom influence. I've taught you again and again in this place that kingdom advance is a product of two things. One is global evangelization. Number two, influence. The purposes of the kingdom must be established in the hearts of men through evangelism, and then through influence must be established across every strata of human activities. Are we together? So you must know how to birth the purposes of God. And I want you to follow me as I share with you. There are certain things in the Spirit that when you touch, you will never be irrelevant. Please listen to me. But most of what it takes to be relevant, believers are not seeking it. We are seeking nonsense all around. Yet we are looking for kingdom relevance. The things that make for relevance in this kingdom are spiritual in context. First, in that order, we are searching for mundane and carnal things that do not have the fortitude to give men a voice in a generation. That's why I shared with you the secret place before coming to this topic. And David served his generation. I hope you know, listen very carefully. I hope you know that when the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles in Acts chapter 2, from then onwards, the strategic apostles that were listed in the Bible were not the only ones who received. There were many other people. But a few people grew to a point where their voices echoed through history, to the point that they were captured in this Bible. When you study history, not just Bible history, you study history and archaeology, you will find out that many other spiritual things happen concurrently, as at the time certain historic writings were being written, spiritual things, but they were not relevant to the context and the program of God within a generation. It's amazing how people think because they are born again, or they have a church, or they have revelation, they will continue to be relevant in God's program for all seasons. No, sir. I have seen extremely anointed men and women of God, and I have seen the boundaries of their relevance with respect to a generation. I have seen people who are not too anointed, but I've seen them at the epicenter of a generation's relevance. There are men and women who would look at people like Joel Austin and look at people like Joyce Meyer. And if you're one who is into the things of the Spirit, fasting, prayer, with all honor and respect, you may not so much appreciate their ministry because of the context of their communication. It sounds very basic. Yet, in a way that looks as though it's a charm, they have commanded the attention of a generation effortlessly, unbendingly. They have entered their Sabbath in relevance. And yet again and again, we find anointed men, miracle workers, still scrounging at the doorways, the corridors of relevance. Understand what I'm teaching you tonight, and you will enter your Sabbath. There will be no need for competition. There will be no need for unhealthy comparison, because you will know that the keys of a generation has been given to you. You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. One more time. His generation, he peeped into another generation that was not his own, and he wanted to still negotiate, and God said, no, you have tried, Abba. He wanted to start building a temple to start the mandate of another generation, and God said, you have tried, David. You have served God, you have shed blood in the process. Just relax, let your son take over. And he said, I must still contribute, let me gather the materials. And God said, this man David, you are a man after my own heart. And because of that, you may not serve in that generation, but I will show you. Look at the Messiah. And David saw a vision. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down. That was the coronation of Jesus. He said, David so longed. He mastered his generation. There was no other voice speaking. Samuel was a man who held the keys to the voice of God in his generation. You could brag and talk nonsense, but if you did not find Samuel, you would keep crying. It wasn't pride. Oh, God is everywhere. Yes, but there are gatekeepers. Samuel. To the point that when a man was about to step into the anointing, God had to use a coincidence to lead him to Samuel. The Bible says of Samuel that none of his words fell to the ground. But remember, before Samuel started, there was a man called Eli that served the priesthood of his time. There was a period of more than 500 years of darkness from Malachi till the appearance of John. After Prophet Malachi, it was somewhat a very dark season for the church. No prophecy, no nothing, everything. And all of a sudden, a young boy born to a man who began to manifest a level of priesthood called John the Prophet was in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, for the first time, they would encounter a prophetic voice. They had lost touch with prophecy. And then John was so wise, he knew when his relevance was coming to an end. And when Jesus showed up, this is what he said, that I may decrease. I have exhausted myself, Jesus. Listen, John remained relevant because he announced Jesus and he kept upholding Jesus. The moment he brought Jesus down, he died too with him. Although his mandate was over, he said, who is the next? Let me uphold him. Let me give you this secret. I want to teach you something powerful. If you are in ministry, never fight your sons. A father that fights his sons loses his honor. A son that fights his father loses his life. There are punishments allocated for the various offenses. Every time you see God lifting a man, join to lift it. If the last move of God always fights the next move of God, chances are that when we are in the program of God and a shift begins to happen and God begins to raise other voices, the threat of feeling irrelevant begins to make people to not want to partner with what God is doing, and they now begin to fight it, and you cannot fight what is of God. You will go down. And so they go down together with it. Do you know why David's name still remained relevant? Lord, you will not allow me build the temple. You said I've shed innocent blood. I would have been offended and David's name would have gone down. But he said, no, Solomon, I will gather the materials for you. Build the house. I will gather the material. Everybody who partnered with everything God was doing also remained relevant. That was the wisdom of the woman with the alabaster box. I'm a prostitute. I don't have a name. But Jesus, can I partner with your relevance? And Jesus said, anywhere they talk about me, this woman too, her story will be remembered. There are people all across this nation and all across the earth who, by either because their assignment has come to an end or their lack of spiritual alignment has edged them out of God's program. Once upon a time, they were at the epicenter of God's program, but either because of pride or disalignment or just the assignment coming to end. You know why Billy Graham remained relevant? He knew when he had served his generation and he created a legacy institute, and all he was doing till he died was lifting all those who it was their generation. And although he's dead, he has been immortalized through his ability to lift men. Same thing with my dear mentor, eternally, Dr. Miles Monroe. He died, but his books brought him back to life. He said, body, you can be laid to rest. Mind, stand up and keep speaking. Miles Monroe is still alive. His body is in the grave, but his mind is still in us. We have kept him alive because he saw a generation One of the last books that he wrote before he died was Passing It On, The Mystery. Not everybody will be relevant for our generation. Once upon a time, Papa E.A. Adeboye grew with a generation, and today he's old with that generation. No matter how prophetic you are, your mother would prefer to listen to Papa E.A. Adeboye than you. I said it in Lagos that even if I cut a human head and throw it down and carry it up and fix it back to show how powerful I am, an old woman will look at me and say, wow, young man, I'm impressed. Let me go to redemption camp quickly. I'll see you later. Because even if they come for this program, you were not sent to that generation. The voice that grew with that generation is the voice that represents the purposes of God to them. Listen, demons know this. Occultists know this. Believers do not know how to grow with a generation such that you become a dimension of God. The four faces at the throne represented different dimensions of God. What I am teaching you tonight will keep you relevant, because by the time you are established in this kingdom, your generation will know you to be the face of something about God to them. Every time you talk of prosperity, we go to Sam Adeyemi for his generation. When you talk about faith and signs and wonders, am I not a man of faith? But you see, our parents will not come to me as that reference. I didn't grow with that generation to represent that dimension of God. I'm teaching you how you cannot be erased in the purposes of God. You want to stay relevant? It's more than making money. You must represent a dimension of God to a generation and grow with them, knowing you to represent that. By the time they are established, they will educate themselves to look up to you by grace as a revelation of that dimension. Who is the Sam Adeyemi of our generation? Who is the Bishop Oyedepo of our generation? Who is the Papa E.A. Adeboye of our generation? Who is the W.F. Kumuyi of our generation? Who is the Apostle Babalola of our generation? It's not just giving yourself titles. I'm Apostle Nonsense. I'm Prophet Rubbish. That's not the issue. It's about staying. It is your generation that will call you, not you. The Bible said they shall call you. The reward for being branded to represent a dimension of God is the name they call you. Are we together? Some of us, your ministries right now have a lot of small children and teenagers, and you are embarrassed because you are hoping that rich millionaires of 60 years will start coming to your church. You better thank God for sending a generation for you to grow with them. Are we together? I remember years ago when E and I started, there were a lot of young people, students all around, and people would just look at it like a children's Sunday school class. And I said, oh dear, those people that are children are now workers scattered all around. You see that? If Papa E.A. Adeboye says all believers in Nigeria fast for 3 days, whether you're a member of Redeem or not, you are going to fast. If your pastor said don't fast, you just respect him and pass and say nonsense. You just started a church 2 years ago and you are telling me to disobey a man. He has represented the voice of God, not just to Nigeria, but to the world, contending for kingdom relevance. I will never lead a group of people who are anointed and not relevant. I have studied the systems of the kingdom, and I have studied the limitation of the ignorance of anointed men of God. Men and women of God, especially in this nation, are very ignorant when it comes to the strategies for kingdom advance. The scope of our relevance is building individual capacities to love God, but the strategy for kingdom advance is seldom understood. And our generation is at the mercy of a breach, a repairer of the breach. Otherwise, we will have very heavy spiritual capacities and lose a voice territorially. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Five keys. Let me not waste your time. Straight to the point. Five keys. You want to serve your generation? Please, I want you to listen very carefully. To become influential enough to establish the purposes of God within a generation. Number one, you must know God. You must know God. You want to serve the purposes of God, you must know God. Not you may know God. Not you can know God. You must have an encounter with God. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. The Bible ties exploits, even within a generation, to the knowledge of God. Are we together? It says, such as do wickedly against the covenant, ye shall corrupt by flatteries. He said, but the people that do know their God, their God. Let me tell you what that means. To know God is not just to know the general God. You must know the God revealed to your generation. If you are in Jacob's generation and you know the God of Abraham alone, you will not be relevant in Jacob's generation. Every generation has a dimension of God revealed to it. Whoever finds that dimension is the person who becomes relevant within that context. Are we blessed? But the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and shall do exploits. Listen to me. In this kingdom, it is your fraternity with the spirit realm that culminates to your dominion and your victory. Ask any great man. If they are honest enough, they will tell you there is a certain level in this kingdom and in the world today, you cannot rise beyond without a fraternity with the realm of the spirit. Whether in business, in ministry, listen carefully, career, whatever it is. If you ever see anyone commanding any dimension of superior results, whether through occultism, whether in the secular or whatever, I can tell you, beyond the secular knowledge and all of those things, a time came in their lives when they became assisted by the realm of the spirit. For 30 years, Jesus as the word, the living logos, was powerless. But when the Holy Ghost came upon him, that partnership turned him into Christos, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. You must know God. You must know God. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 to 24. Please give it to us quickly. Jeremiah chapter 9. Thus saith the Lord, not an angel, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Our generation has many wise men who are poor. Many wise men who are broke. Many wise men who are not relevant at all. The Bible says first things first. He didn't say wisdom is not important. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's the pride of the believer. The foundation of your confidence in life should never be because of the car that is parked outside, because of the food that is on your table, because of your degree that is in your drawer. Are we together? No. All those things only make sense when you are centrally connected to God. Those who will be relevant in these end times, those who will defy the operation of demons, those who will defy the curses and the yokes of culture, those who will defy all the manipulations of darkness, they are not just well-meaning people, but those who know their God, understand it, and know it me. Are we blessed? You go and prescribe this to someone who wants to be great and see how he will frown at you. He won't exactly hate it. He will just smile and be angry because he believes that when you want to be great, just teach him business principles. Do this, do that quickly. You want to be great? Oh, let me teach you on book publishing. Book publishing is the art of A that gives B this to C. All those things are rubbish if you don't know God. One yoke from your village can rewind your success. Is all you are laboring for nothing. The Bible says it is vain to wake up in the morning. Hear me, Nigerians, wake up in the morning and sleep late in the night only to eat the bread of sorrow. That's why many hard-working people are angry. They look at life and say it's not fair, and you are right. I was a graduate since 1961 and I've not built a house now. And look at all these small boys. Sorry for you. The foundation of relevance for every generation is not just your connection to God, but your knowledge of God. When last did you ever see this being prescribed as a formula for greatness? And please, those of you here who are into personal development and the rest, is wonderful. When you are teaching a secular, you go ahead. But when you are mentoring people, let the foundation of growth be the realm of the spirit. Are we together? You know, you talk like this and a lot of people believe that you don't know what you're saying. You don't know anything about secular success. You're wrong. You're wrong. You must know God. Jacob had an encounter with God. A nation has never been named after you. A nation has never been named after your father and my father. Listen carefully. A nation has never been named even after your president. I'm not sure of any nation in the world that has been named after a man. So when a man is so relevant that God's nation is named after him, study how he rose up like that. The foundation was not intelligence. The foundation was an encounter. Genesis chapter 28. When you read from 11 to 17, he lighted upon a place and lay down on a stone to sleep. And the Bible says, when you begin to read down to 17, that a ladder was connecting the earth to heaven. Listen very carefully. And then at the top of it, give us verse 13 or 14. And listen, behold, the Lord stood above it. Let's hear what God is saying. God said, I am the God of who? God himself is calling himself the God of Abraham. So it's not something men are calling. God himself called himself. Not I am the King of Kings. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. Stop. No other person had been interested in knowing me enough to add to the list. That means it was never supposed to just stop as the God of Israel. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am the root of David. David added himself. I am this and that. Then Joshua Selman too comes to add himself. So that our children, when you say, I'm not saying you should say the God of Joshua Selman, I'm just teaching you how it is. When you say the God of Joshua Selman, it's not the same as the God of Abraham. I don't know what Abraham saw. I don't know what his business was with God. But there is a dimension. You hear the people say, the God of our fathers had appeared to me. At that time, Jacob had not yet been in the list. He says, the land where thou will this and that and that and that. And then Jacob woke up in the morning and said, the Lord was in this place and I knew not. How terrible. He said, this is the house of God, the gates of heaven. The next encounter will be in chapter 32 and verse 22. Please give it to us. We are reading down to 30. Chapter 32 from verse 22. 22. 32, 22. Chapter 32 and verse 22. Let me read it from here. Chapter 32 and verse 22. And he rose up that night, Jacob now, and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over forth Jabbok. 23. We're reading to 30. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. 24. And Jacob was left alone. Jacob got to a point where everything that represented his relevance, he had to give it away. Wives go, possessions go, everything go. And when he was alone, the reason why many of us may never encounter God is because there are many things together with us. Your money is still there, your house is still there, every other thing is there. But when you are left alone, he says, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the strongest part. That means you have been strong by yourself without me. I see that you so love your degree to a point that every time I say I'm lifting you, you smile and say it's because I'm an engineer. Of course I should be lifted. It's because I'm a doctor. It's because I'm an architect. Lord, I know that contract, and God's touched that area and said it may not always be by what you call strength. It is by my strength. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. 26. And he said, let me go, God, now, for the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob, may that be someone's testimony, oh, that you say, Lord, in this generation, I don't just want to be a story. I will hold on to you. And people say, look, everybody is getting a job, oh, everybody is moving. And you say, just leave me. May God bless you. But Lord, I cannot leave this place. You see, many graduates make a foolish mistake. The moment they write their last exam, they pour mineral on their head and joke around and play around tap water, and immediately they are done. They carry their bag and run and join the queue of confusion. When you should stay back and have a 2 weeks retreat and lie down near one tree and say, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until what will I tell my generation? That I went to school for 5 years? Is that enough to give you a voice? I entered somewhere in Abuja, and the receptionist had three MSCs. I said, if you come to this place and it's grammar you want to talk, you will be a foolish person. Two of them were abroad, and then one in the country, receptionist. Don't think it's a small place. A salary can, let me just keep quiet. No, don't think receptionist like you are thinking one small kiosk. No, that's a place where only kings enter. And I said, my God, you need more in this life. Brothers and sisters, I'm not teaching you to be lazy, but I'm telling you that if you want to command a voice, you can carry your first class degree and get a job and meet somebody who was the son of a herbalist who also got the job with you. And they say, we are considering someone for promotion, and he's laughing at you already. He's pitying you because he knows 1 week to the promotion interview, your leg refuses to move from your bed. And you come to the office and he says, well, just to let you know that you had that. They say, my father is a herbalist. The wicked world that we live in. I know someone who was promoted, true story, sat down on his chair for the first time and died on the chair there. They went to consult all kinds of people. Some herbalist says his wife that killed him. Some other herbalist says the guy that mops the office that killed him. It doesn't matter. He's dead. He's dead. Who killed you? You are dead. Can you know God to a point that someone is concocting a charm? The first portion he drops, fire response. Fire. And says, no, there are some touch knots. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Listen, Something happened, I think it was last week. One of our dear ones, some of these touts, these boys around that catch people, collect phones and the rest. And I got to hear that one of our dear ones, as he went home, whether he was on his way going home or he went home, I think he went home and then went to get something or so afterwards, that some of these touts, these guys just attacked him. They attacked him, collected phone. They caught him like this with a knife, like a ram. They showed it to me when I was in Lagos over the week. I just came back today. And then when I saw it, I was just laughing. I allowed them, the protocol and the rest, to shut the door. I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, except I am not anointed, the person who did this thing. Listen, when I said that, by evening, they had caught them. They are, right now, as you call Alex outside, the police now, right now. Do you know how they caught them? After that prayer, the guy now went to go and waylay somebody. He didn't know he was a police officer. Then they caught him and packed all the phones. And the phone they picked was the guy's own. They called and his friend was with him in the hospital. As it is today, they are carrying him to the hospital to identify him. And only God knows what they will do for him. Do you know God that much? That the bowing of your knees can manipulate anything in the earth realm. See, let me tell you, if you don't understand this, most times you would think people are boasting. When someone says, I will pray for you, you've heard that thing? I will pray for you. Doesn't pray for us, so because you know his prayer is powerless. But there are people, if they say they will pray for you, rejoice. They are not using your faith. He said, for this cause, I, Paul, bow my knees to the Father. I'm praying for your sake. Ah! Jesus prayed for us. So, John 17. He prayed for us. When I was coming, the military people came to greet me. I said, please, you people should use those boys to teach people in this area that there are still apostolic and prophetic voices. We are not just acting nonsense here, and then all kinds of young boys just go and continue oppressing people. What devil? What nonsense? I'm saying it again. Let me announce across this territory that any gentleman, any lady, whether you are here or not, that gets up to manipulate people, boggle their house, I command the earth to fight them from tonight. That some of them will go to bed and lie down and not wake up. The territory should know that God has voices. It's not by coming on TV and making noise. Elijah said there shall be no rain. We need to sanitize this spiritual environment.
Alagbara, Father mighty God, hey, Latobi.
Listen up. But the people, you don't need to know everything about God. You just need to know the dimension of Him revealed to you. I don't boast of knowing everything about God. There are some things about God I totally don't know. But let me tell you, there are dimensions of God that He has shown me by His grace. Your pursuit, if you want to be relevant to a generation, you must know these dimensions of God. Going to church is not enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praying and fasting is not knowing God. They are only tools to help you know God. One of the major reasons why people don't know God is they don't give Him time. Be careful with this I'm busy. I'm busy. You need to give God time to know Him. Our generation, we pray, we fast, we sing, we go to church, but we are unwilling to give God time to know Him. If you see people doing 3 days fast, there's fire on the mountain. Real fire on the mountain. Lord, where are you? Then the fire goes down and you leave him. That you sit down and say, Lord, I want to know you. What message do I have to my generation? You must know God. I'm challenging every one of us here. Please tell yourself the truth and stop allowing people to just clap for you and say, wow, prayer warrior, wow, fasting giant, wow, word revelation, signs and wonders producer, and you move around fooling yourself that you know God, and life tests you and there is nothing about God that you know. It says that I may know him. Pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, reveal yourself. Reveal yourself to me, O God, that I may know you. Lord, I'm tired of ordinary Christianity without power. Show me your glory. Show me your grace. Shibakoroto Suprahatia Salabara. Hallelujah. There are things you must know about God. There are things I know about men. I used to have one, I can't remember who exactly, but there used to be one gentleman years ago. I used to tease him. He looked very powerless as a man, but you don't see any power. You can almost shake him. And I said, if they ever tell me you fought somebody, I won't believe, because I know you. I know you enough to know you are not even strong to lift a sizable chair. So if somebody tells you that guy finished beating one police officer, you just laugh. I say, except the anointing came on him. There was something David knew about God that made him stand before Goliath. We stand and face the challenges in life based on the knowledge of God that we have. The armies of Israel had the same weapons that David would later hold, but they could not confront Goliath. There was something Goliath too knew. He was not just big. Goliath was not the only giant in the land. Even among the Israelites, there were also giants. But they stood, and Goliath was a warrior, wicked man. And David said, don't mind him. Carried a sling. Said, I'm going to remove this, your head. You will fall down. I will use your sword, cut it, and feed the birds. Goliath said, am I a dog? He said, you'll soon know. When he wound that thing, it was not just his hand winding it. There was an anointing. And he hit Goliath once. Goliath himself was shocked that he fell. There was something Joshua, oh bless his name, Joshua, knew about God. And he said, go round, don't mind all this big mountain for nothing. Notice that all the challenges are usually very big. Jericho, Goliath, Red Sea. So don't be surprised when yours is big. Why would you expect it to be small? How then will God be glorified? 25 years barrenness. Are we together? There is something you need to know about God, that you will stand before a generation and they'll say, ma, it's 2 years and you are not pregnant yet. He said, just wait. And all of a sudden, by the third year, triplets will come. 9 years in 3 years. And they'll come and say, ah, you just gave birth. I didn't give birth. I manifested miracles. Don't call that, is not delivery. You go and try it. If you get triplets, show me the science of producing triplets. I know something about God. Where someone threatens you and says, in this office, they bow to me to rise. If you are not willing to bow to me with honorarium of 1 million and then respect, you are not rising up. And everybody above you will say, just this guy is connected to the presidency. And you say, all right, sir, may God bless you. And you go back in the night and do something that will make that man call you in a hurry and sign your document. And you say, just for starters, to let you know that there are men and there are men. Are we together? Someone plants a charm to kill you, and he's sleeping in his room. The charm meets him there physically again. Charm said, you sent me, and somebody changed my direction and brought me to the same place. I remember years ago, one of our lady went to meet a herbalist in this place, this one, a herbalist for something like that. She kept giving him money, was concocting a charm for something, and then the last one, now he now asked for an honorarium of 30,000. I said her, or he now started calling her number. You better come and fulfill your audition. You have made me start the charm. True story. You will run mad. And she now ran to me, came and confessed his pressure, A and B and C happened. I said, warn that herbalist. So my concern is not the charm, is his life. Tell him that he should check in the realm of the spirit. You don't speak like that if you have not met God. Because many people have made bold face. When I used to counsel people in Area E, some of the protocol people would testify. People would come with a letter. You would think it's mineral they are holding for me. Until they open it, you will now see that it's a charm. They collected it from one baba and brought it. And I said, bring it. I look at it as a nonsense. You ask the charm to come. There is something you need to know. This world is wicked. If all you know is what your eyes have seen, you better start crying, because there are arrows that fly by day. You don't need to offend anybody. Who are you offend? Nonsense. It's a wicked world. You mean this lady is getting married? Ah no, we have to do something. Abba. You mean this man is the one, this young man is the one building this house? No. You mean is this young guy PhD? No, it took me 11 years to get PhD. Why will he get PhD in 4 years? No. You mean this young lady, 5 children? No way. Our world is wicked. It's not in news. Are we together? Years ago, one gentleman that I know got married in Kaduna, and then we went then to go and just celebrate with them. And while they were bringing the gift, true stories, I like praying for gifts. We noticed, I was sitting down and I noticed after everybody had dropped everything, the wedding was almost over. And then a woman just came with something that looks like a bucket, just dropped it. I tapped one of my colleagues and said, the Lord just showed me something. We opened that bucket, true story. And we, you know this bucket you put sugar or semovita, white, this white bucket. We saw it with a stone in the middle. I lifted it. I said, you see this? This is fruitfulness blocked. That woman will get married now until her husband drives her and says, we can't marry two men. Go, let me look for a woman. And I told them, I said, you people should just be praying on the other gift. Just leave me with this one. Can you confront the gates of darkness and go to bed? If they bring a charm for you now and say, sorry, help me and scatter it, please. Will you say, come for Koinonia on Friday? Or come and drop it in miracle service? Or say, no, Apostle is busy. Bring it. And you hold it. And without saying any prayer, from where you are holding it, someone is jumping from their house and saying, I won't do it again. May God make us a powerful generation. All this ministry of just falling down and you say two people will fall. The realm of the spirit is higher than that. Oh, you need results. Shift in people's destiny. Just falling down and rolling and standing up. They that know their God. You get up and have a dream. And in that dream, you see that there's obituary every month in your house. You don't sit quietly and then everybody starts dying and you say, people are dying. That's not the time to start disturbing me. I say, Apostle, you are sleeping. Prayer department, Benga, promise, Pastor Alpha, Kenny. No! You get up. And he said, he's not only the God of Abraham. He's not only the God of Isaac.
You are my God.
And you announce to Satan and say, if you near the vicinity of my family again, it's a decree, it's not pride. Know when to be a lion and know when to be a lamb. No warrior is a lamb in the face of battle. Whoever told you that this world is a playground, you must know God. Greatness is warfare. Greatness is not just an equation, A plus B equals to greatness. No, sir. I say it jokingly, only God knows the shrines on earth that my name has gone to. Maybe your Zaria city, any other place. Oh God, let him sleep and not wake up. While they finish the charm, I just stretch. Shabaso skabarando kasilia katar. God gives men the power to lay it down and the power to take it up. You must know God. Take the time to know God. You don't know God by a 1 hour weekly service. No, sir. You don't know God by a 5 minutes Bible study. You don't know God by an occasional fast when there's trouble. You don't know God by a fire brigade, closed door retreat. You give God time and say, Lord, I want to know you.
I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you, Lord. I want to touch you. I want to hear your voice. I want to love you, Lord.
There are many of us tonight, God is calling and saying, stop this religion and be serious with me. Stop this religion. I'm a deacon in my church. I'm an elder. I'm the chairman of marriage counseling. I am the pastor in charge of choir. No! Settle down and say, Lord, I want to know you. Reveal yourself. I'm tired of lying and pretending. I don't have boldness because I don't know you. Knowing God is not becoming a pastor. Listen to my message, knowing God experientially. God uses experiences to reveal men. You can't just know God. Every experience in your life now is an opportunity to know a dimension of God. Don't waste it by crying around like a fool. Say, Lord, there must be something. All of a sudden, all my money has disappeared to the point that I don't have 5 naira. Instead of just saying it's an attack, Lord, there is something you want to show me. El Shaddai is calling. El Shaddai, he wants to show me that he's the all-sufficient God. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your tears. Use them as an opportunity to know something about God. Apostle, I've been barren 5 years. All right. Use the opportunity to know something about God. So that the next time you are saying he can make a way in the wilderness, it's not a song, it's your life. Are we together? Apostle, I had a dream. In that dream, I saw 5 points. When my result came out, I saw 2.5. Cry. There is something about God you need to know. It is because many people don't know God. That's why they don't receive some prayers. Notice that people receive prayers according to their level of insight about God. When you pray and say, in the name of Jesus, favor, amen. But when you say, in the name of Jesus, someone who has no business coming to you, I call, they just say, amen. Careless amen that doesn't have faith in it. Because that dimension of God has not been captured. Let me give us one more and we pray for tonight. We'll continue next week. Contending for generational relevance. Contending for kingdom relevance. Those who will reign in this kingdom must be men and women who know God. Whether you are a businessman, whether you are whatever, you must know God. You know, sometimes I counsel people when I travel, and while I'm counseling them, the Lord begins to show me something, like charms that they have in their houses, or something that they tie on their waist for protection and preservation, and yet they come and sit down as a man of God. Do you know, if you are not powerful, that thing will fight you. In the name of praying for somebody, oh God, let this guy win chairmanship, and that night you sleep and an old man walks you in a dream. One word, two words, be careful, and just leaves you. And you wake up with headache, you don't know where it's coming from and where it is going to. You go to the hospital, nothing. For 1 week, then he comes again. So be careful, then the headache stops. The next time somebody comes for you to pray for him, you say, no, please, go to Koinonia. When Dagon was put face to face with the ark of God, the ark didn't remove hands to touch him. They came back in the morning and met Dagon. If he just fell backwards, that's not honor. It fell face forward. May your life from tonight be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Listen, my prayer for you, Koinonia, hear me, is that you don't mock yourself by praying 3 hours and yet you are afraid of every manifestation of the valley of the shadow of death. These boys that scam, years ago they sent a text to my phone. One, I think it's a text they sent to people. We are watching you now from where we are, and something, you are, it's like they are threatening you. Maybe they are watching you through a window somewhere. And I said, look at this. They can now lie to you and say, go and drop 100,000 near the green tree near your house, and you would think they are really watching you, whereas it's a general text they send to everybody. Fear can create images. Are we together? You have a dream, and in the dream, dead people are coming to visit you. You don't get up and say, I saw my father. He died 1983. Thank God he's your father. But what does the living have to do with the dead? Do you know, when you see dead people in your dream, I don't mean departed saints now glorified, dead people in your dream, that's the spirit of the grave. That's not the spirit of death. That's the grave itself has a spirit. It's a magnet. It's calling you. Like you are invoking. That's what is happening. You don't get up and say, Chai, Nigeria said, no! What is Nigeria? Shabakatos kalabata. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You pray in tongues for 5 minutes. Distribute fire everywhere. And ask that devil to use the face of your father again. It's not your father. It is appointed once for men to die. The man you see that you are calling your father is not your father. It's a devil carrying the face of your father. What father? Your father is there enjoying in heaven, and the devil is using the face of one person. Come to us. Come, we are calling you. Let's go home. Come and eat yam, tea palm oil. What nonsense is that? That's what happens to a lot of people. They just get up and an infirmity has entered their spirit. They go to the hospital and check again and again and again until they die. The living has nothing to do with it. If I see anybody I know who has died, if it is of God, departed saints in light, I know. If it is a demon spirit, I know there is a gulf. What fellowship has light got to do with? Please, I'm teaching you this thing. If we dwell just in knowing God, those who will stand and represent the purposes of God, you need to look at the spirit of death eyeball to eyeball. were coming from Lagos, and I think it was because of the weather and the pilots too. My God, the plane was as if it was just plane around. I was sleeping. Ask them. I was sleeping. If it will crash, I will enter. If I enter, it will not crash. Apostle, the other, I don't know who that other person is and what he believes. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, in this world, don't trouble anybody and nobody will trouble. What nonsense are you saying like that? The Bible said, declare ye that ye mightest be justified. Jesus prophesied that I would die, but I will come back. If Jesus didn't say it, he will not resurrect. Let he that glorieth glory in this. Please, brothers and sisters, there are several people here. We thank God for the crowds, but Koinonia, God is not just looking for crowds. God is looking for quality people that know God. Not just man of God, pray for me. Man of God, pray for me on everything. Man of God, sing for me. Man of God, worship for me. When will you now build capacity to be a blessing? It's all right, you can start small. Our little children in this ministry are more spiritual than most of you. These little kids you see, the fire, you stand near them and see the presence that oozes out of them because of the simplicity of their heart. They are feeding with the food of adults as children. Pray, they pray. Fast, they fast. Some of them come to meet me after service. My daddy is sick. My this is sick. I tell them, darling, bring your hand. I place my hand and I say, go and lay your hands. And truly they will do it. But adults, they won't do it. They'll just say, don't worry, apostle. Just rub your face with handkerchief and give it, because you are afraid of embarrassment. Is God speaking to us? Today, by the grace of God and with all humility, there are things that I know about God that has brought rest to my life. I show you how to be free from worry. Know God. There are things when you know about God, when others are crying, you are laughing. You are not laughing because you are inhuman. You are laughing because of a rest that the knowledge of God has given you. It was Bishop Oyedepo who said one time his wife was pregnant, and all of a sudden they noticed she was spotting, and then, you know, medically speaking, they said she's lost the baby, and he just shouted. He said, is it a baby you are delivering or blood? My dinner, please. Come on now. That word maintained that child in that stomach until he gave birth. Blessed is she that believes, for unto her, not unto them, unto her. Some of you can be listening to me and say, man of God, wow, you can preach well. Life will not ask you whether you are a preacher. The way the devil hates me, if I didn't know what I'm telling you now, he would have killed me since. The devil doesn't want me to backslide. He wants me to die. So 1,000 falls by your right, 10,000 by your side, 10,000 by your right side. Pastor Alpha, you are still standing. I thought people in Kogi State don't rise after certain place. Say, no. I come from Zion. I thought your father worshipped a shrine. So? I thought that the ladies in your place don't stay 3 years after they get married. I thought the men that come from this state are irresponsible men. See, I don't know who they are. But there's something about the knowledge of God is giving me confidence. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please prophesy in 1 minute to yourself. I live to praise your name. I have no fear of what tomorrow brings. I live
to praise your name. I have no fear of what
Use the revelation of God to stamp the face of fear. Fear of marriage. Will I marry? Will I give birth? Will I have male and female? What if my husband dies and leaves me? What if my wife dies and leaves me? Will I be prosperous? Will the church grow? The revelation of God is the antidote to fear. God is love. And when love is perfected in you, it casts out fear.
Lion of Judah, my trust is in you. Alpha and Omega, hey,
my trust is in you.
I put them on you, hey,
my trust is in you.
Sing it with faith in your heart. Lion of Judah,
my trust is in you.
We'll continue next week. Hold hands with someone and begin to blast in tongues. Let the realm of the spirit hear your voice. Go ahead and begin to pray. Don't ask anything, just pray. But the people that do know their God, but the people that do know their God, but the people that do know their God, but the people that do know their God.
I know you are a merciful God. I know you are a restoration God. I know you are a lifting God. I know you are a gracious God. I know you are a mighty God, the lifter of men, Alpha, Omega. Hallelujah. Listen.
If all you know about God is that He's a merciful God, that dimension itself can take you through your lifetime. If all you know about God is that He can restore, you will never cry when things leave you. If all you know about God is that He's the God of the suddenlies, 5 minutes to shame, He shows up.
Lord, I know you. God is
a miracle worker. God is,
you are
a glorious God.
God is,
God of the suddenlies. My brother, my sister, God can wipe the shame of men. He said, have you ever heard this proverb that in one day a woman gives birth? Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I know you. I know you as a miracle worker. I know you as a destiny changer. Change my life. My tears, take away the shame from my life.
Hallelujah. We're going to sing that song one more time.
But thou, O Lord, had a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
That's the name that is called.
But thou, O Lord, had a shield for me,
my glory
and the lifter.
I want you to leave this service standing tall and facing life with confidence. Where is your confidence coming from? Seeing that you graduated with a third class. I know God, but I know whom I have believed. There is something about God that I know. Where is your confidence? Seeing that you have no earthly father and mother. I know God. Where is your confidence? Seeing that you do not have any voice. Like Gideon, the least of your father's house. But there is a God who can lift men. Let me give you two prayer points to round up today's meeting. Hallelujah. Listen. Prayer point number one. I'd like you to say, Father, use my life to surprise my generation. Lift your voice and pray. Use my life as an object of praise. Lord, use my life. Anoint me in an unusual way. Bless me financially in an unusual way. Lift me in an unusual way. Surprise the naysayers. Surprise those who have concluded about my life. Surprise the enemies of your agenda over my life. Hallelujah. Number two, Lord, by your mercy, reveal yourself to me. Please pray. Everyone that asketh, receive it. Lord, I've been crying for marriage, for money, for prosperity, for anointing, but reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself. Pray.
Just a few minutes and we're done. Life and destiny, that you who is seen as a rejected stone, they've concluded on you in your family, they've even called you names that depict you as being a failure, but in the name of Jesus, out of that ashes of shame, out of that ashes of disappointment, out of that ashes of being a non-entity, may the hand of the Lord pick you and shoot you like a star for everyone to see. I'm praying. I don't know who has concluded about your destiny. Men sit down and discuss you, and they even laugh. It's true that Jesus died. But he only died for 3 days. He didn't die forever. Rejoice not over me, my enemies. Though I fall, while you are discussing my fall, yet I rise again. I command the grace for resurrection. Arise from shame. Arise from pain. Arise from disappointment. Hear me. Some of you are in ministry here, and you've not seen the grace of God. And you are about to give up. Did God really call me? If he called me, why am I not getting the kind of apostles' result? I bring you a word of hope. Be patient with God, oh. Because in the midst of that ashes of pain and disappointment and two members is a transgenerational anointing. Don't be too quick to give up on God. God called you to the ministry of kingdom financing. But as it is now, you don't even have transport back after Koinonia. And every time you tell people, they laugh at you. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you. God, my God, look what he's done with my life. God is a lifter. God is a blesser. God is a surpriser. Don't let no devil sit down and compartmentalize you. You are from this tribe. You are from this place. Oh, all you have is a diploma, not a master's. All you have is a degree, not a PhD. Oh, you don't have any godfather anywhere. What rubbish is that? Have you not learned that with God, with God, with God, without God, some things are not possible? But when he comes into the equation, with God, without God, I cannot rise up. Without God, I cannot prosper. But with God, when he holds your hands and said, son, let's go, Don't be afraid of the giants that stand. No. The Lord is comforting many of us. There are giants on everyone's mountain. You are not the only one with giants. When you watch people laugh, it's because they have learned how to keep Goliath down. Now, thanks be to God who causes us always. Successful people are not people without challenges. They are people who have mastered the art of victory. They know when to dance when others are crying. They know when to speak when others are quiet. Ah! They know when to cry before God when others are crying before men. They know when to sacrifice when others are withholding. They know when to stay when others are going. This ministry you see, thank God for the results that you see and hear, but it's not luck. There is something about God, you know, that your results can be predictable. There's no, apostle, be careful. What if tomorrow there's no result? Which God are you talking about now? Return back to your homes tonight with an appetite to know God. You can use some time this weekend, or at least before we continue next week. There are other things to teach you. But please go back and sit down and ask yourself, am I just a church goer? Am I just a prayer man? Am I just a Bible study Christian? Or do I know God? When challenges stand before me, what name of God do I know that I can call? When all my enemies surround me and it's obvious they are going to defeat me, what do I know about God that turns the hand of things? Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son, giving your Spirit until the world. One more time, and we're done for tonight.
Thank you, oh my Father,
for giving us,
your Son,
leaving your Spirit in
your
Jesus. We declare tonight, as we seek, as we contend for kingdom relevance in this generation, for the sake of your purposes, I ask, oh God, that you reveal yourself to us. May we not stand before Pharaoh not knowing you. May we stand before Pharaoh having met I Am. Lord, our destinies are different, and the various dimensions of destiny are different. And so I ask you, oh God, in this season, that very specifically and personally, you begin to reveal yourself to everyone. A customized revelation that befits their assignments. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, by this revelation, take away fear. Take away impatience. Take away frustration. Take away a sense of shame and disappointment. Show us something about you that supplies the strength to continue. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for tonight. Let the name of the Lord be glorified. In the name of Jesus. Give Jesus a big, big hand. Don't miss next week's meeting, and don't come alone, because I've just shared one out of six very vital points that the Lord put in my heart, and the Lord is really opening us up.
Please, everyone stand. Let's just honor those who are about to respond to the altar call. Be patient. We're about to close. But there are people here. The foundation for true encounters is a revelation of Jesus as Savior. As Savior. Not just as King. Not just as Lord. There are people in this main auditorium, overflow 1, overflow 2, 3 by the roadside, and several who are following from different parts of this nation and around the world. Several of you are saying, man of God, if you will make this proposal, I will come to Jesus tonight. The Bible said ye must be born again. I want to give you a chance. You're giving your life to Jesus for the first time, or you are saying, man of God, I just want to rededicate my life. Please don't be ashamed, don't be afraid. Aside from overflow 3, I'll just request that you come out, just go to the front of your projector stand. But overflow 1, overflow 2, and the main auditorium, you are giving your life to Jesus, make your way to the front very quickly. Let's honor them as they come. Thank you. Thank you for not allowing the devil prevail over you tonight. God bless you. Keep standing. Keep standing. Come. You don't have to kneel. Just stand. God bless you. Koinonia, is this the best we can do for them? Look at this adorable baby. Come to Jesus. Those coming from outside, please hurry up. Hurry up quickly. Join them. Apostle, I'm not sure of my salvation. I know I once answered an altar call, but I honestly don't know whether I'm saved or not. Make your way to the front. Join them. Join them quickly. Join them quickly. Join them quickly. You must have a fresh start with Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Lift your right hand high to the heavens and say after me. Mean it from your heart. You're not reciting a poem. You're joining them. Please come quickly. Join them with all your heart. Don't stand as one who is standing in front of a graveyard. Stand as one who is about to receive an award greater than a Nobel Prize. Say after me, Lord Jesus. Say it with all your heart and mean it. Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I declare that you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I declare that I reign in life. I declare that the power of Satan is broken over my life. I move forward ever and backward never. I'm a child of God in the name of Jesus. Keep your hands lifted. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for these precious ones, old and young alike. Thank you for this declaration that they are making. Spirit of the living God, you are the representation of the presence of Jesus to us. I ask that in a fresh way, you mantle and cloak these ones. That today by faith in your word, we declare them possessors of eternal life. I declare that the grace to walk in the life of God, the grace to walk in all surpassing victory, let it be given to you. I declare your sins forgiven. I declare that the power of Satan is broken over your life. In the name of Jesus, go from glory to glory. I plant in you a hunger for the house of God, a hunger for spiritual things. You will never, never, never be the same. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for this bold decision. I want you very quickly to follow. There's a gentleman waving his hands just this way. I want all of you in concert, just follow this gentleman, and then there will be a group of people to meet with you and just talk with you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's honor them.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia live, go to mixler.com/Koinonia-radio.
And download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and serve.